Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Rockets over the weekend on Saturday, they went into OKC, nationally televised game, got a win. Tari Eason was the star. He was in the starting lineup because Amen Thompson didn't play. And people are saying, Sean, that perhaps, particularly in that second half, the offense flowed better because they had a shooter on the floor as opposed to a non-shooter. So you cannot do the thing that teams have done, is put, you know, a stouter, smaller player on Şengün and allow a big to hide on Amen and be a floater. No Amen, no ability to hide Chet on someone else, and you got a shooter out there who, at least this year, has been a knockdown guy. Is that going to matter when Amen's back? No. They're not taking Amen out of the starting lineup. But it did open some eyes that, hey, when you actually have a guy who can space the floor, your offense may seem a little less congested.
Amen Thompson, this year's Jalen Green?
No. No. Not this year's Jalen Green.
Gets voted off the island.
We're not starting that. Another young piece having to go.
Yeah, just eventually trade them each one after every year.
Yeah, they all prove to not be fits, and you get older and older as the years go on. I don't see that happening. Amen certainly has some holes to his game. There are a lot of positives, mostly positives when it comes to Amen. But in moments when you got to play half-court basketball and you have a clear hole and teams won't respect them, we've seen it become it's been a problem for the better part of the season.
Especially against a defense like OKC.
Yeah, and they
like
were
any win you can get. Any like, hey, let's make it a little bit harder for them is good.
Yeah, they had 2 30-point quarters in the second half, which you didn't really see coming considering how they played. Well, particularly in the second quarter. They were bad in the second quarter offensively. But they found a way. A 112-106 the final. And as I said, I'm not using no Shea, no J-Dub, they needed it. They needed that one.
Yeah.
Even if you believe that's a bunch of super confident athletes, yeah, it's only a two-gamer, they're going to be fine. I think just for everyone's state of mind to go into OKC and find a way, win a close one, that I don't know if it's a restart to the season, but it's something to say, hey, it's not as Kevin Durant has kind of talked about. It's not as bad as you think. It's just a stretch of the season where we haven't played our best, but we still super talented team. Even when we're missing one of our starters, we can compete.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like, hey, like win's a win. They needed it. Like way better than like a good loss at this point.
Yeah, competing and falling like, late to OKC.
A win where you can go, well, like, you had me at win.
Yeah, particularly, it might have weighed on them more when you point out there was no Shea, there was no Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
The fact that you, had those, that as something in your favor and not win the game, that sparks a whole different thing. Exactly. Where you couldn't even beat them when they didn't have their top two scorers, or at least their top, traditionally top two scorers.
Yeah. So now they have two games against the Clippers, I think, in Toyota Center.
The Clippers, who, despite the trades, didn't have Benedict Mathurin, still don't have Darius Garland, went in and beat the hell out of Minnesota.
Be careful.
The Clippers had been playing well up until they traded James Harden, and you thought, you know, they're giving up on the year. Zubac is gone as well.
That was the white flag move.
Traded Zubac. You're bringing in Darius Garland, younger player, for James, because you know you're not going to pay him. Okay, you get why you might make that move. But then you trade Zubac, you're saying, okay, this team, despite their recent run, has said, we are not winning anything. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a couple moves for the future. And they still go into Minnesota and take them apart. So I don't expect Darius Garland to play. Benedict Mathurin, I think, played in his last game when he's with the Pacers. So
I didn't think he was hurt.
That might be a logistical, physical, whatever it might be, why he wasn't available against Minnesota. But see if he's available against the Rockets in, what, tomorrow? They don't play today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. So overall, nice kind of palate cleanser for what has been a lot of negativity surrounding the Rockets. Nothing, no moves at the trade deadline. You get smacked around by Charlotte and Boston in consecutive games, and then you have Alperen Şengün. Triple-double. Great. But he also had to answer for something that happened a couple games ago, but we didn't know about it until the hot mic stuff leaked.
Yeah, because this was from the Celtics game.
Yes.
And they had a back-to-back, so the next night they played the Hornets. I don't think it hadn't, you know, been uncovered, or it just hadn't been circulated enough to where, you know, these things always kind of start on, like, deep NBA Twitter, where it's like, you're not entirely sure if this is real or fake.
It could always be some AI thing.
Yeah, it needs to be kind of get verified, like the wheels of motion to, like, verify this.
We talked about it when we found out about it, and while you and your point is correct, unless they AI'd the Celtics reacting.
Oh yeah, no,
on the
for
bench.
Sure.
Once we saw that, we're like, oh okay,
yeah,
that's real. And he was asked about it after the game on Saturday. Here's Alperen Şengün on his incident in the Celtic game.
You know, that was immature by me. You know, that was just hit in the moment, and I say some stuff I shouldn't say. But, you know, I felt bad about it, and right after the game, I went to the locker room. You know, I shake Shea's hand and apologize to her. You know, that was immature by me. I just should know better. And, you know, but like I said, it's just a game. Sometimes, you know, you can't control yourself. But like I said, I should know better. But I fixed it, and then I went to the locker room, and I said, you know, apologize it. I shook Shea's hand and said, you know, that would never happen again. It just happened in a heat moment, and she understood, and, you know, it was good by both hands.
Thanks, Alfie.
So the referee in question is Jenna Renault. So he went to her. He explained it. They shook hands. He did it after the game, and apparently all is good. I'm trying to think. In our lives, Sean, you don't have to know. No need to name a person.
Mm-hmm. Joe George. No, I don't know.
I was going to go. If you, for whatever reason, in an immature moment, called a woman in your life the B word, would a shake of the hands make it all good immediately afterwards? Like, she doesn't have a personal relationship with Alpi, so of course. Yeah. I get all the mitigating factors.
If it's like, because I'm trying to think of like a high, like where you can play the like, hey, emotions got the best of me.
Like, let's just say it is
like in traffic.
You're watching LU and Texas at the Cotton Bowl.
Okay. I would take it back.
You're at the game. You're at the game. And a play doesn't go Texas's way. In fact, it's the game losing play,
okay,
whatever
thanks.
Reason.
Yeah.
And someone who you know in your life says something that you don't want to hear at the time. You're emotional. You can't believe Arch has lost the game.
Oh, come on.
Whoever. Fine. Name a player Name a Hollywood Smothers fumbles.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say some guy who I haven't actually seen on the field yet.
Yeah, Hollywood Smothers fumbles.
Yeah, Cam Coleman drops a dime for Mark.
That cost you the game. And for whatever reason,
UFAM?
No, she's a Texas fan.
Okay. That does affect my answer.
Yes, she's a Texas fan.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, OU fan. You don't care what you say at that point.
Call her again.
Yeah. You lucky. It's just a B word.
Might go further down the alphabet.
Yeah. Hey, there are different words I could call you that start with different letters. And it just hits you in the wrong way, and you go.
Shut up, B.
Yeah, or you're being a whatever, however he said it. Whatever, there's a debate
you're
about
an effing.
Yeah, whatever. Do you think, hey, 30 minutes later, a shake of a hand is going to be enough?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
So while she has a job, she's professional, she shook his hand and everything's good, I don't know that everything's good. I don't know when you drop that on some. Look, I think the lack of a relationship may actually help this.
Yeah,
she doesn't know him. It's not personal. He might have called anyone at that point something, but it just happened to be you. Did he use it because it was gender specific? I don't know. I'm going to guess he did. Or maybe Albie's just calling Bill Kennedy or other people. Sorry, that's the only referee I know. That's the only reason I use Bill Kennedy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Whatever.
Tony Brothers.
Maybe he's calling anyone he sees that word.
Yeah, Scott Foster, I mean.
I don't know that any of those referees are like, you know what? Ah, shake of a hand is fine. In fact, if he's calling Tony Brothers that, he's probably not going in there to shake his hand anyway. So, I say keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's okay. Alperin said it was okay. I'm not sure that it's okay.
Yeah, we need Jenna Renault to weigh in.
She's probably going to say it's okay. It's her job to let it go. Guys say things that aren't appropriate all the time to refs. She probably is thick-skinned. But has Alpi started a Chris Paul, Scott Foster type thing?
I was going to say, let it be a 50-50 call.
And late in the game, we'll see who gets the call. Let's see if they're playing a Spurs. Wendy's never called her that word before.
The North remembers.
Yeah.
Jenna Renault remembers.
Jenna Renault. A Stark in name. Or maybe not name, but in her heart.
Yeah.
She'll remember.
Yeah. No, you do have to address it. I think he did the best he could as far as the owning up to it.
Sure.
Because there's nothing really else you can say. You got me.
Yeah. It's on hot mic. She heard it. Everyone else heard it. There's no denying it.
Yeah. So that is interesting, though, that you kind of forget that, Jenna Renault's probably going to call. I don't know the exact number of how often they rotate, but at least five more Rockets games for the rest of the season.
And we know. And once this isn't gender specific, we know referees hold grudges.
Oh yeah,
so
Crawford, you mentioned Scott Foster,
they hold grudges against certain players. I don't know that this rises to the level where she's going to always remember this and go, all right, if I need to make a call,
yeah, I'm watching that pivot foot, Shingun.
How many travels does Shingun get called for in the next Jenna Renault game? We will see. But he apologized. Hopefully. It's over, and I would imagine to be a female referee, you probably have to have a pretty thick skin. Referee in general, but maybe even her job
on the come up
has to be. Yeah, she's not established yet, but she's making her way. Probably not going to be as bothered by it as the girl who's at the OU Texas game that you call that word.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Not allegedly. Hypothetically.
I was going to accuse you of something you've never done. That's right. Fight it. Hypothetically.
I'm not taking the high ground like Shingun.
I've never done it. Never will. As long as she watches what she says.
Yeah, the whatever hater report hot mic doesn't have video of that, all right?
Yeah, he's never done it. Don't worry about it.
Or was it courtside? I forgot what the because there's an account that does just pull the rim mic from all the
legends
games. Legends or something.
Yeah. So in this case, legends didn't get to it. The hot mic did. I haven't seen a fine yet for Alpi. We were talking about it this morning. I don't know if it rises to the level of a fine. It did get thrown out, so he'll get that fine. I don't know if inappropriate remarks to referee get you fined in a way that's going to be something
normally
significant.
They would have a.
It's been at least a game and several days now, and we have not seen an Alperen Şengün fine for that. One thing the NBA announced is Alperen Şengün is an all-star. So that happened. He's taking the place. He's European. He would play for the world team. He's taking the place of Canadian Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So Alperen Şengün gets selected to be an All-Star. Second time in a row for Alperen Şengün. And that's good. Saw that come across, so good for him. He probably should have made it initially, but they're just limited world spots.
Yeah.
Now that a guy's hurt, he gets to make it.
I think in like a more normal situation.
Yeah, probably. If they weren't trying to make people care again.
Yeah.
Also, they're figuring it out. He probably would have made it.
I know he plays for the team Dominican Republic. Also, Carl Towns being a world player, it's a little bit.
Like that.
And then there's Norm Powell?
He's Jamaican.
Yeah.
I thought he was set to be on the USA team, though.
Oh, then this just shows how these rules work, where you can just kind of choose whichever team you want to
Norm Powell plays for Jamaica in FIBA, so does Carl Anthony Towns. But is Carl Anthony Towns playing, or I mean, he plays for DR. Is Carl Anthony Towns a U.S. player?
He's playing on World.
Oh, he's playing on the World. But Norm Powell's playing on the U.S. team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these rules are stupid.
The whole thing was convoluted to try to get people to care.
Yes.
And even how they get to the teams doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The rules don't really apply. Like I think I've mentioned it before. I watch a lot of sci-fi, read sci-fi stuff. Look, as long as the rules in your universe make sense, even if it's not realistic, I can work with it. Because as long as the rules are set, I know what I'm on, what time you're on. The rules in this made-up all-star world that Adam Silver's concocted, they don't even make sense. Scheduled to play for Jamaica if they make the Olympics, but not for the world in the all-star team, in the all-star game.
And then Kat, who is from New Jersey, but representing Dominican Republic.
He's on the world team.
He's on the world team, which makes sense. Like, that's at least logical.
Yes.
Like, that at least, like...
Then Norm Powell
follows,
should be playing... For the world team as well.
Yeah. Or turn in that Jamaica jersey this summer, buddy.
Either way, make a decision, Norm. You're born in San Diego.
Come on, Norm. Make a decision,
Norm. First All-Star appearance for Norm Powell. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it sticks out, is that I'm like, oh, Norm Powell, All-Star.
That was his goal. Some people thought he should have made it last year.
Yeah.
He makes it this year. All right, we'll go to break. Somehow, we find a way to make the Super Bowl about the Cowboys, but only because this clip popped up. And sometimes you call your shot. Cowboy fans push back on it when it happened. Turns out a former Cowboy is right. They're wrong. So we will remind you of that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Seahawks win, dominant. Their defense put on a show yesterday. Didn't make the game that entertaining unless you just hate the Patriots or Drake May, or at least the hype around Drake May. Maybe you don't hate Drake May. I don't think he's a bad guy. But if you don't like the Patriots hype, didn't believe in it, the Seahawks did you a big favor yesterday by shutting that down. And the other thing it did is getting people to say, oh, the Patriots will be back. They got a young quarterback. They have Mike Vrabel. This is just maybe one of several opportunities. A lot of that coming from the Patriot fans because that has been their lot in life the last 20 years. They get the Super Bowls. Well, only Jalen Hurts, I believe, has made a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl after losing the first one. I believe he's the only one to get there, lose his first one. Actually, in the last 20 tries, John Elway, of course, has lost his first one and got back. But I think Jalen Hurts is the one guy in like the last 20 guys to lose their first Super Bowl to get back and win one. So there's no guarantees about, we know Dan Marino, that's the classic one, never made it back.
They called it out on the broadcast. Tirico brought it up. And I was like, Dan Marino's probably watching this at home. Like, what the hell did I do? Why are you checking me?
It's his lot in life that if you...
Because it was also a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, it's all those
making
things.
The Super Bowl.
So only four quarterbacks ever have won a Super Bowl after losing their first appearance. Jalen Hurts is the only one of the last 20 to even make it back. So in the modern era, if we want to call it that, at least if you're a millennial or a Gen Zer, guys don't even get back after losing.
Yeah.
So
I can't even. Yeah. I can't think of like the other guys that have lost and made it back to lose again. You know, like Jim Kelly.
Yeah. But Jim Kelly, but that was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is one. I'm sure there's some dudes in the 70s as well. But it just doesn't happen. You don't. Joe Burrow, of course, hasn't made it back.
No.
Purdy never got back when it's early in his career. Jimmy Garoppolo's probably never going to make it back. No. Certainly, it's not as a starter. He's never making it back. So this whole, hey, it's a young team.
Future's bright.
If you go by recent history, future's done as far as being a Super Bowl winner.
Trade him now.
Well, probably not going to happen. But, yeah.
So high.
If we just go by history, the Patriots should trade Drake May. Don't pay him.
Trade him for a Minton.
draft another quarterback and try it all over again if we just go by history. So we'll see if he is one to avoid that fate. Joe Burrow certainly hasn't so far. A guy who did make a Super Bowl and win it, DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence, longtime Cowboy, and he joined the Seahawks for a couple reasons, but one of the reasons he was very vocal about. He said something Cowboy fans didn't want to hear when the news broke that he was going to be a Seahawk. He was interviewed by, I don't know if it was the team site or a local Seahawks reporter, but this is DeMarcus Lawrence right after he signed with the Seahawks.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there, but, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there, so, yeah.
We're here. DeMarcus Lawrence, welcome to the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us.
There was, as you might imagine, pushback from Cowboy fans. How dare you? How dare you suggest that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he just followed the DeMarcus Ware plan. DeMarcus Ware did the same thing. I don't know if he made a comment like that, but he said, I'm going to Denver. He wins the Super Bowl. Just another in the long line of veteran defensive ends for the Cowboys. Not a long line. It's been a couple.
Named DeMarcus.
DeMarcus, who said, you know what? Nah. I'm not going to win it here. I got to go someplace else. And they go win one.
Yeah, and Lawrence getting it year one.
Yeah.
Doing it. I mean, there's no real way really for the counterfactual to be proven right of like the Cowboys like never winning a Super Bowl with him there. They didn't seem pretty close this year. In fact, they traded away their best player before the season started. But to get it year one, like he just kind of wins this exchange forever. Like there's just no.
Yeah. No matter what you think, no matter what your thought was at the time, you might have been like, he ain't winning in Seattle. They got Sam Darnold playing quarterback. Ah! Got it. And who knows if he ever would have won one? Seems unlikely in Dallas.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely. Yeah, based off recent history.
Yeah, they're on another coach. They didn't make the playoffs. They got questions everywhere. Jerry's losing his best players, at least his best defensive end, after he lost to Marcus Lawrence. So credit to him for calling his shot.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do but say, you know what, DeMarcus, you got this one.
I wish guys were more open like that, where they're just like, I knew we weren't winning jack over there.
Gotta go.
I get why they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know they feel it. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
guys leave because, yeah, they know. I gotta go. I'm not gonna win it here.
You just have the feeling. Like,
you've been in that organization. You know the changes that would have to happen to make it happen aren't going to be there for you, so you make a decision.
I mean, Dalton Schultz, I mean, he didn't say we'll never win a Super Bowl or the Cowboys would never win a Super Bowl.
But he talked about how it was more about, like, tour. Like, wasn't he the guy who talked about how it was like a sideshow? They brought in people for tours. And
yeah,
it was more
as he
about
was, like,
football
working
here.
Out. Like, yeah. As he was, like, at the gym, in the gym, like,
we were, like,
there'd be tours that, like walked
zoo animals, and here it's more about ball when he signed with the Texans.
And he signed with the Texans.
He came here.
He did that to sign with the Texans.
And found it more professional. Turns out he was right. Thanks to D'Amico. Let's get to Keith here. He wants to talk some Super Bowl. What's up, Keith?
Honeydale.
All right, put Keith on hold. Keith, your phone's breaking up. Call back. Just a bad connection. So, Keith, you can get back in. We will welcome you. See, I can still hear it through the queue. It still doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
So, Keith, you can hear me. Call back in. Your phone connection isn't good. We'll go to break right now. Try to get you in quickly on the other side. If you want to join in, 713-780-3776. So, of course, as this show kind of always is, open to whatever you want to talk about. We have some Astro stuff to get to because they are going against a lot of people's wishes. We think depth would be important in the infield. They think they need to make a move there. So we will get to that. And there is some floating around the NBA. The teams in the NBA aren't thrilled with tanking teams taking on contracts and getting picks for them. They just think it's against the spirit of the game. And I don't know anything more against the spirit of the game than what the Jazz pulled. Like, I guess that the Jazz wouldn't try to compete this year. They would do it next year, now that they have traded for Jaren Jackson Jr. But they had a lead against the Magic with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. I think they're up by 7 and didn't play them a minute in the fourth quarter. And, of course, they went on to lose. But tanking, at least if you get the number one overall pick, hadn't led to much. We'll talk about that, and we'll get to Keith when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll hear from John Morosi on what's going on with the Astros as they try to fix what they think is an infield glut. But before we do that, Keith's back. Looks like his phone is better. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Good to be back. First off, I want to say, you know, the nickname, the schedule to Drake May is one of the best nicknames I've heard in a while. You know, especially with, you know, being sacked 21 times in 4 playoff games. I believe he had 9, maybe 10 turnovers in those 4 games. My question is, you know, Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl, you know, having 0 playoff wins heading into this playoff. Matt Stafford, I believe, had 0 playoff wins heading into the Super Bowl 4 or 5 years ago when he won. Can you guys think of another quarterback in history that had 0 playoffs heading into 0 playoff wins heading into a Super Bowl winning, you know, run to get their first ring?
Eli Manning in 07.
Yeah, he got hot late.
All of his playoff wins are in 07 and
2 seasons. Yeah. And he won. Yeah, so Eli's there. We know Mahomes lost.
He lost to the Patriots
in the
year before.
Yeah.
Oh, did they win? Yeah, that was the AFC title game.
Yeah, where D-Ford lined up off sides. So we have at least a couple of examples. I can't think. Did Joe Montana? I have to think. I don't remember. Did he make the playoffs before he won his first one? Don't have off the top of my head.
I mean, Dan Marino. I guess he didn't win.
Yeah,
win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So if we go way back,
Bart Starr.
Yeah. Didn't he win the first Super Bowl?
He probably won the NFL championship.
Yeah. Did he lose an NFC championship game when it was just the championship at some point? I don't know. But maybe Joe Montana comes to mind. Steve Young in 94. I think Steve Young had already taken over as quarterback for the 49ers and maybe lost to the Cowboys before they beat the Chargers.
I think they lost to the Cowboys the year before.
So I would have to think maybe Joe Montana is someone we can look at and see. Brad Johnson started games, right, for Tampa? No, he took over for – yeah, Brad Johnson had to have started playoff games before, right? Before that one year with Tampa?
I don't know.
So that might be one of more recent vintage. Maybe Brad Johnson
– Big Bad Brad. Is he still doing trick shots on?
Is that what he's up to?
Yeah, he did that for a while.
Yeah, he had played in the postseason before.
Okay. Did he win a game? Because it's win a game.
Yeah, he won with Washington.
Okay.
And then lost.
I was going to say.
So, yeah. So, and he was.
And he was on the Minnesota team. So.
Yeah, but he didn't. He only started one playoff game with them and lost it. So I'm sure there are some. We just don't have that right in front of us. What else? Did Keith mention anything else?
No. All right. The schedule.
Yeah, Drake May's nickname is something that will stick until proven otherwise. It's just what it is. Schedule stunk. They took full advantage of it, and they somehow found a way to take advantage of it, of the teams they play in these playoffs, much better teams, at least much better defenses. But we know, flawed on offense, whether it be because of offensive lines and somewhat the quarterback against the Chargers. C.J. Stroud did them so many favors. And, of course, Jarrett Stidham. So
I will say it is fitting for this AFC that for, I don't know, since like November, we've been like this is some team's best chance to like steal one. And every team that loses should feel bad because it'll never be this easy. It is kind of fitting that it's like, oh, yeah, the team that had like the easiest schedule in the last 25 years of NFL seasons won, what, 12, 13 games and didn't impress really at any point on their way to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's actually fitting that it's this team that just kind of like in no other year with this like if this team actually topped out in like the divisional round and they lost to like an awesome Chiefs team
or
whatever.
A great season for them.
Yeah, everyone would be like, great.
Great first step. Yeah. But instead,
it's like they got too far where you're like, this team, you feel the need to like praise them for making the Super Bowl, but you're like, this team really isn't that good. Like, it really isn't like any different than, honestly, like the Texans teams that top out in the divisional round.
This is a Texans team who got beat by a better Patriots team from long ago or a Chiefs team or a Ravens team. That's the type of team that the Patriots had, but they were able to make a Super Bowl because there was no Chiefs or even a Ravens or even a Bills that was up to the vintage of past teams.
None of these teams were like, you know, the AFC teams that you think about, you know, that stat where, you know, you can go back however many years and it's always either Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, Mahomes in the Super Bowl other than like one Flacco year. It's like, yeah, no, it wasn't like that this year. It was Stidham May in the AFC title game.
And Joe Montana, 1981, first playoff run, won a Super Bowl. 3-0.
There we go.
So there it is. I thought so. If I had to guess, that would have been the one. Troy Aikman lost before. Just think of the teams who had dynasties or close. So.
Oh, Brady. Brady in 01.
Yep, Brady's another one. He got to the playoffs and won it all in his first go. So it has happened. Of course, it doesn't happen very much, but it does happen, Keith.
Did Kurt Warner, 99?
He would be another one.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be the starter. Trent Green, we know the story. Yeah. Thanks to Rodney Harrison in a preseason game. Kurt Warner became a legend and won a Super Bowl in his first go-round. So it's happened in the 80s.
On the Rich Eisen Show later this week.
Oh, look at that. Rich got Kurt.
Yeah, sure, he's a weekly.
I'm sure Kurt will have things to say about Drake May's performance.
Yeah, probably more eloquent than Collinsworth after the interception. I don't know, Mike.
Yeah. Look, Kurt. Kurt Warner has time. He's got time to break down. Collinsworth was in the moment.
Just being like, trying not to say WTF.
And he had just come off applauding.
Yeah.
Him for getting the rhythm, and then he does that. Let's get to this before we go to break. John Morosi covers baseball. He's a go-to guy for MLB Network, and he has some thoughts. He was asked because the Astros are one of the teams trying to make a move. The reporting came out this weekend that Paredes is the guy that they and the Red Sox have discussed. The Red Sox may be backing off that because they made a move. So Morosi was asked about the Astros' plans and if anything is going to happen soon. Here's what he had to say.
Yankees getting complete. Are the Astros, Robert, you listening, complete? Because we keep hearing, he said no, Isak Brady's or Christian Walker. I mean, big names. And Isak was great before he was hurt. Could they be moved? Any truth to that?
Yes, Lauren, I think both players are still available, but I've been checking on this in recent days. It does not appear that a trade is imminent at this hour, at least, for either Paredes or Christian Walker. I think the general idea, and Robert knows this well, The Astros would like to get more left-handed. They are really right-handed. You look up and down their lineup, and if there's a situation where Yordan Alvarez is out of the lineup for a particular amount of time, they become even more right-handed and perhaps susceptible to really quality right-handed pitching. So this guy, though, Isak Paredes, you look at what he's been able to do, 20 homers, someone that can move around the diamond, of course, some second base, some third base, some first base as well. Actually, ironically, Lauren, Paredes' ability to play first base is what has made Walker somewhat expendable. So, again, the potential trade fit is there because Dana Brown would like to get a little more left-handed. But as we speak today, it appears more than likely that both Paredes and Walker will be in camp with the Astros to begin the Grapefruit League.
All right, Morosi, showing off with the pronunciation.
I get it.
Paredes?
He watched Bad Bunny last night, too. I get it.
I see you, Morosi. Yeah, that's Morosi, all. I know what you're up to.
Inspired.
Hey, you think I can't roll an R here?
Watch this.
Yeah. All right. Dana Brown, as I said before, the odyssey of him trying to get more left-handed continues. Morosi knows about it. Everyone knows about it. He still is searching for his left-handed bat.
Can we ask the question? We have
I'm sure we can.
Can we add, so you need to get more left-handed. Therefore, you're trading away the guy whose swing is most tailored to your ballpark, maybe in the league, of Paredes hitting balls into the Crawford boxes. He is a Deadpool hitter.
And that was the appeal when they brought him in, right?
Now
when they
made the trade. Now you more left-handed.
The thought was, they voiced it themselves, what it would do because of the Deadpool hitting nature, and we had the stat of how many balls he would have hit out in 2024 if he had been playing for the Astros at what then was Minute Maid, now Daikin. That was part of the appeal. Now,
is there another right-handed hitter that's less perfect for the ballpark?
I imagine if they could trade Christian Walker, they would, but they can't. So Paredes is the piece they're dangling.
I get it. It just is funny. That's because I'm looking. I was watching the video of Morosi on MLB Network talking. It's like all home runs. It's just all Paredes home runs to the Crawford boxes. You're like, why are you trading this guy?
That's what he's here
because
for.
Because of a glut. Because there's too many
You have too many good players.
Yeah.
Too many capable infielders that can hit.
Miss 50 games a year. Yeah.
Well, let's not acknowledge the fact that having guys for this team, a team that deals with injuries all the time, having a surplus might help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yordan's definitely holding down the DH spot all 162. Forgot about that.
We're not looking for your type of facts, okay? We're just trying to find us a left-handed bat. We'll go to break with that. Maybe Dana Brown will have secured that left-handed bat by the time we get back. Considering his track record, unlikely. One more segment to go. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We talked about it last week. The Rockets, they did fine in the lottery. They finished in the top three. In the year with Amen, they're top four. They take Amen, great player, on track to be, it appears, one of those dudes. Of course, the jump shot is waning or missing, I guess I'd say. We'll see if that develops. So they found contributors without winning the lottery, despite, in some cases, their best efforts. Having the top pick overall in the last 20 years or so has guaranteed next to nothing. Of course, there's some guys who are recently drafted, so we don't know about. Kate Cunningham, great player, drafted number one in 2021. Paolo, we make our jokes because he can't knock down a jumper. Good player. Victor Wembanyama, we know. Generational type talent. 2024, Zachary Richechet. That was not a great draft. It was either him or Sarr. So the Hawks won the lottery and not a great year. And, of course, Cooper Flagg with the Mavs. Too early to tell as far as what he'll be. But so far, so good. Of course, those are guys who haven't won a title yet, but we can't blame them for that. Anthony Edwards in 2020, on track. Made a couple conference finals. We'll see. But go beyond that. of guys you can maybe make a determination on. Zion Williamson in 2019, not won a title with the Pelicans. DeAndre Ayton, not even with the Suns anymore.
Didn't
make a finals, but not with the Suns anymore. Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns, not even with their teams that drafted them. Andrew Wiggins, certainly not. Didn't even play an actual regular season game with the Cavs. They traded him for Kevin Love, and then eventually they won their title. Of course, Anthony Bennett, nah.
no, sir.
Anthony Davis won a title, but not with the team who drafted him.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving did win a title, thanks to LeBron coming back, but he had the big shot, so we know he was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
In 10, the Wizards with Wall, no. Blake Griffin, no. With the Clippers, Derrick Rose got to an Eastern Conference Finals, but the Heatles were in the way.
No.
And
also, like, some minor extenuating circumstances.
Sure. He had a horrific knee injury that short-circuited his prime.
Yeah.
Greg Oden, of course, no.
No. God.
Andre Bargnani, no. So, the one player in the last, 20 drafts has won a title being the number one overall pick with his team that drafted him. So, of course, as we started this with, the most recent guys, we don't know.
Yeah.
But, and those guys outside of Ricochet,
it looks good,
are going to be at least all-stars, maybe perennial when it comes to some of them. And some of those guys are going to be all-NBA for years. Like Anthony Edwards is probably going to make a couple of those. Certainly, Wembanyama's going to do that. We'll see about Paolo as he continues with the Magic. Kate Cunningham on his way. So, good draft picks. We got to wait and see. But as far as where we can make determinations, one. So, while, of course, all these tanking teams are in it to get the number one overall pick, as it stands, you think about it, it was brought up by HB Basketball. He made the list, but he also brought up this. It kills your culture to be a team who consistently is trying to lose. Then when you draft a guy and bring him into that culture, don't you have to rip out root and stem all the guys who are around, at least as far as your coaching staff and maybe some of your executives that build a culture of losing? That's what the Rockets did. I mean, they kept the GM, but you know what they did as soon as they were ready to start winning? Beat it, Stephen Silas, because you've ingrained in these guys, not that he tried to. Stephen Silas was hired to coach a James Harden team, but once James Harden said, I'm out of here, now he was stuck. You ingrained a culture of losing, and the coach who was there for the losing's got to go. It happened with the Astros. Bo Porter beat it.
I kind of think that's that's kind of where, like, the Sixers messed up, is that they let Brett Brown. They kind of felt bad. They're like, all right, we'll let Brett Brown finish, see this out. And it's like, actually, you should have fired him the day the NBA forced you to fire Sam Hinkie.
The Rockets and the Astros
both been sit packing.
More ruthless.
Yeah.
They said, hey, you've been the caretaker of these awful teams.
We're ready to win now.
You cannot be around as we try to win.
Yeah.
Even though we know the roster kept you from having any chance of winning, you're part of the losing.
Yeah.
You got to go. So.
Yeah. A big problem with the tanking this year, though, is that it's a bunch of teams trying to keep, like, top seven picks.
Yeah.
Where they have, like, top seven protections. Like, the Pacers trade away a first-round pick this year for Zubac that's top five or top four protected. And so it's like, they really need to be terrible to get as best chance as they can to stay in that top four. That's where it's like, I feel like you'd solve a lot of the tanking.
And you know what? Tanking.
Like, getting rid of the protections.
Yeah.
It's like, either top four or nothing on these protections.
And the tanking hits new grounds when, okay, I know going into the game, this guy isn't going to play.
Yeah. But when you play
them and you have a lead and then you pull them out.
It's gross.
That's gross. And the Jazz were guilty of that over the weekend.
The Jazz need to keep their pick. Wizards need to keep their pick. Yeah. A bunch of teams that made winning trades at this
for
deadline.
Better players. Like, they're going to hold, either play them and pull them in the fourth quarter, just not play them at all.
Yeah.
Because they have to land in a certain spot to keep their pick or go someplace else. So I don't know if there's an actual fix to this, but it has shown, even if you get a good player, which certainly the last, you would say, five out of the last six have done, doesn't guarantee you anything. And if you go further back, if your name's not Kyrie Irving and he had to be team with LeBron.
Yeah. Even LeBron counting as like, well, he won with the team that drafted him. Yeah, he left.
He had to leave
and come back.
In some ways, learn how to do it. And then he came back and brought his team to a title. So tanking clearly guarantees nothing, particularly if you get the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
That music means we're done for the day. And since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
got nothing for you here.
Drake May forced Chris Collinsworth to be speechless in a job when he has to talk. That's how bad he was.
Hundreds of millions of people watching.
I got nothing, Mike. That's how bad it was. Seahawks dominant Super Bowl champions. We'll get into more stuff tomorrow. Thanks to everyone who called in. Of course, join us tomorrow. Sean and I will talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.